Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we pray that as we turn to it this morning, you would build our faith in you and in your mercy. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, this last week, we've heard a lot about confidence. There's been a vote of no confidence in the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn. Government Minister Michael Gove, it seems, does not have confidence in former London Mayor Boris Johnson to be a suitable leader. Others are saying that they do have confidence in Home Secretary Theresa May or MP Liam Fox or other candidates to be Prime Minister. We're told that the financial markets have grown in confidence since the slump after the Brexit vote, but there is still a lack of confidence internationally in the pound. Well, confidence, which literally means with faith, is the subject of our Bible reading this morning. The letter to the Hebrews, from which that New Testament reading comes, which is on page 1212, page 1212, has all been about encouraging Christians who feel under pressure to keep going, to keep believing in Jesus, to keep standing up for him in a world that often ignores him or even opposes him. The writer has reminded us how great Jesus is, how much better than anyone or anything else. Jesus is the reflection of the greatness of God the Father. He is the exact imprint of God's nature seen as a human being. He is better than any human hero or spiritual being. He is God and man at the same time and so can understand us in our human situations. He has fulfilled the Old Testament and has died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice in order to bring forgiveness of sins and acceptance with God. Well, just before what we read this morning, at the end of chapter 10, which we looked at last week, we hear the strong encouragement, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Well, that theme of confidence and faith continues into chapter 11. And chapter 11 opens with the words which are effectively a definition of faith. Chapter 1, verse 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is confidence in God and what he has said and promises, rather than merely looking at what we can see with our eyes around us. Well, the writer then goes on throughout chapter 11 to give examples from the Old Testament of people who had faith in the promises of God. So he says to his original hearers and to us today, "You're finding it difficult in many ways? Well, lots of others have been in the same position. All these Old Testament figures often struggled, but they kept holding on. They kept believing God's promises, and their example can help us to do the same." Well, we're just going to pick out a few of the people that the writer to the Hebrews concentrates on. And one of those, in verse 7, is Noah. By faith, verse 7, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah listened to God's warnings and built the ark, and he was saved from the judgment of the flood. He had faith in God's word. He had confidence in God's message. Then we hear of Abraham, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham, you see, took God's message seriously. He believed God's promise about a better future. And that is faith, confidence in God's word. Well, we hear too about Abraham's wife, Sarah, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham's wife, Sarah, had never been able to have children, and she was now very old. But God said she would do, and she did. Now, if you know the story, Sarah struggled to believe God. But in the end, she realized that God was faithful, that God did keep his promises. And that is faith, confidence in God's promises, in his word. Then we hear about Moses, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses stayed part of God's people despite his upbringing in Pharaoh's court. He believed it was better to have people oppose him for belonging to God and to his Messiah, the Christ, who the Old Testament points forward to, than just to go with the flow of those around him. He believed God would give him so many good things in the end that which he enjoyed at the time as part of the Egyptian Empire was nothing in comparison. Well, that's faith. Confidence in God's word and what God's promises point to. Well, then also we have David. That bit that we read, verse 32. The writer, having listed so many people and discussed them, just makes a list of some others. He says, for time would fail to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, those who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises. See, when David was the king of God's people, he saw many enemies overcome. He saw the nation build itself on a system of fairness and truth from God's law. And he had faith, faith that saw God's promises coming true. Well, all these people relied on the promises of God, not just on their feelings, not looking at the circumstances around them and thinking badly. They were not stopped in believing by their difficulties or discouragements, or by people who didn't believe in the true and living God. Faith in God, faith that keeps holding on to the truth of Jesus, is not blind faith. It has reasons. It has faith in the promises of God. Now, all these people are example of those who kept believing despite finding things tough and being opposed by those around them. But actually, we, says the writer, as Christians, are in a much more privileged position now than they were. Verse 39, and all these people we've discussed, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us. You see, we are in a better position because we have begun to see the fulfillment of many of the promises that those Old Testament characters could only anticipate. And that is because of Jesus. So after all these encouraging examples, we read chapter 1 of verse 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, those people, those examples of people who kept believing in God's promises, encourages us not to put our confidence in other places, like going back to our old lives without Jesus, failing to hold firmly to the truth that we've received, just going with the flow of everyone else around us. Instead, these great Old Testament figures encourage us to put our confidence in Jesus, to keep looking to him, the one who is the foundation of what God is doing in his world, the one who is the perfect example of confidence in God and his promises, the one who died on the cross and came back to life and who now rules with God the Father from heaven. Keep looking to Jesus, the one who alone can bring people back to God as the perfect sacrifice for sins. So as we hear God's message this morning from his word, we can ask ourselves, where is our confidence? Are we just going with the flow of those around us? Are we looking to Jesus? Are we putting our faith in him by remembering the promises that God has made through him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these examples of confidence in you, and we pray, as the disciples asked Jesus, that you would build our faith, that you would grow our faith in him. Give us more faith, we pray, that you would strengthen us to live for Jesus in this world. And we ask for his sake. Amen.